Adam likes to pretend that he hates musicals.
I do.
All musicals. No. They're so horrible. Blah, blah, blah.
Legit.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Audrey.
How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Anything interesting happened today?
Not a thing. Nothing interesting going on today.
Sounds boring. Your job must be useless. Don't know why you're here.
What about you? What, are you doing anything interesting today?
Well, I'm here.
Oh, where's here? What are we doing here?
I'm recording a podcast in a little room so we don't disturb people.
Or get disturbed.
Or get disturbed, which is so much more important. This is like heads down work. Don't mess with us.
Yeah, there is a particular configuration that's laugh probably would echo all the way to this floor if it wasn't completely separate from the others.
There's a couple configurants whose laughs would reverberate, I would say. I'm probably one of them.
So why are we here?
Oh, why are we here? Yeah, what are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Welcome to Snap Into It.
Yeah.
The podcast that we're starting, and that's what we're calling it.
That's what we're calling it.
So, yeah, welcome to Snap Into It. This is a podcast we're doing as configurants to try to get a little bit of context to the whys of how our software works, the whys of things we're going after next, and the whys of things like in the development world a little bit.
Yeah, and on the other side of that, the why of why do our users care about certain things? Yep. Why do they want certain things? Why do they get frustrated by certain things? And it's really the goal is to bridge that gap, you know, so that developers or people making tools understand the people using the tools and the people using the tools understanding the people who make the tools. And I found over the years when I see those two groups of people talking to each other, it's kind of magical. Like, there's so much more understanding that goes between them. And you kind of find like, oh, we do kind of care about the same things. And, you know, we're different people and totally different interests, but we all care about, you know, what we're doing here.
Yeah. There's absolutely a magic to the user and developer conversations. I think that's why at CET Experience Now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
catch
close.
Yourself.
Yeah, oof.
Check yourself.
That I think that's why Chat with Programmers is so like well attended, but also why Chat with Users can be well attended as well. And is so exciting and interesting because it does help to listen to each other and to get that feedback.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Just for some context for everybody, as long as I've been here at the conference that we do, it used to be called the User Conference. Then it was called CET Experience. Now it's called Experience. Hopefully we can get used to that for a little while before a rebrand, but we'll see. But yeah, so we've always had a chat with programmers session. And so users could come and ask developers questions. So the people who are actually making CET or whatever other tools we're making these days, they could come and say, hey, you know, how does this work? Or why did you do that? And the developers could kind of share a little bit about their work and all of that. And then Adam actually had the idea, was it last year, 2 years ago?
It would have been 2 years ago, actually.
2 years ago to have the reverse chat with users. And so developers could come and ask the users questions. And how successful was that session?
We did that in the Arizona experience 2 years ago, and it was wildly successful. I know it was a bit of a risk because, you know, who wants to go to a conference with so many chat with sessions? You know, you have three chat with programmers, a chat with users, and then we had another chat with users actually at the same time. And there was a lot of concerns that like the session wouldn't go very well, but I put it at the end of the day on purpose just to be safe. I thought it might be a nice little palate cleanser, but I thought, what if this goes over? And it did. We actually were there for an hour and a half for what was supposed to be an hour long session because nobody wanted to leave the room.
Yeah.
And I even heard some feedback about 2 weeks ago now that somebody actually came up to me at Configurant and said that was their favorite session ever. So
that's so sweet.
It is.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thinking about it that way, actually, just thinking of it now, this feels like an extension of that, right? It's like a one-on-one chat with a developer or chat with a user, as we'll have different guests on with those different roles and all that background. So you don't have to come to the conference to get that, but come to the conference. I mean, it's a good time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as much as we think this podcast can help people understand each other a little bit better, there's nothing quite like having you know, a group of people who are all doing the same thing also be able to talk with each other and bounce ideas off each other. So the sessions are still worth it, but it's so valuable. We should bring it as often as we can.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And by the way, this is not meant to be a podcast to just promote our events.
As much as I would personally like to do that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, this is not a sales podcast. But we just, you know, once we start talking about experience, it's such a good time.
I think it's one of our favorite things we do in a year. We're also, in case you don't know, Audrey and myself, actually, maybe this is a great time to segue into who we are. So yeah, Audrey, who the heck are you? Why am I listening to you?
Oh, now I feel like singing Moana, but I'll refrain.
I don't know. She can do it if she wants, right? Will we get sued?
I'm not warmed up, but maybe another time.
That's the thing. I'm not warmed up.
I'm not really worried about Configure getting sued, but no, just kidding. No, but who am I? I am Audrey Moore. I am your neighborhood podcast host, one of two. I'm a senior UX researcher at Configura. I've been here for – last week was – my 8th year anniversary.
Wow.
At Configura, which I did not expect that to be my life. It's funny, when I interviewed to work here, my boss, or who was going to be my boss and did become my boss, I remember on the phone screening, she was like, oh, you know, we like to hire people who are willing to stick around for a little while, maybe 2 or 3 years at least, and see how it goes. And of course, I'm in an interview. I'm like, oh, yeah, totally, totally, totally. But like at that point in my life, I was maybe 25. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, in 3 years, I'm going to be 28. There's no way I'm going to still be here. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I'm just going to see what happens. But I need a job. Well, I fulfilled my my empty promise of being here 2 to 3 years and went beyond. So I'm still here. But I started out as a training and support specialist. So I would teach end users how to use CET and also sit on the support desk. So answering chats and emails and making tickets and all that stuff. And I so admire the people who are still doing that. It's draining.
It's a tough job.
It's a tough job and it's amazing. So it was exhausting. So I'm kind of glad I don't do that just in terms of my emotional weight of that. But it was a really good experience because, you know, it gave me such a good insight into the struggles our users are having and the things they like and don't like. And doing the training and support was such a natural transition to getting into UX. UX is user experience, for those of you who don't know. And Adam and I will try to catch each other when we use acronyms because, you know, every industry has their little acronyms and it's confusing.
No exception.
We are no exception. Plenty.
Oh, well, you didn't actually talk about users. We already said that word a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Users, just meaning people who use the software, not people who use drugs, just to clarify.
Apparently that comes up a lot.
It does. I mean, sometimes.
more often than it should.
More often. Usually not. I would say not usually with our actual users.
Okay.
But when I try to explain my job to
To somebody who's others, outside.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. People who maybe don't use as much software and whatever. But yeah, anyway, so user experience. The goal of user experience is to make the experience of our products and of our company a more positive one. And there's a lot of things that go into that. My thought was doing the training and support was a very natural transition into doing UX because I learned about our users. I learned to care for them deeply. That's why I couldn't get out after 2 or 3 years. It's like, I can't leave you guys. There's so much more to do. And so seeing everything from that perspective, and a lot of UX comes down to a beautiful philosophy called design thinking. It's kind of a method for problem solving. We'll talk about it lots in our little podcast here. So it has a lot more to do than just like pretty designs, like making things look nice, all of that. But all of that to say design thinking starts with empathy and it starts with listening and understanding where people are coming from and then figuring out what is really the problem underneath that before you get into any solving or solutioning or ideas, you're just listening to start. And so I feel like I was doing a lot of listening for those years of training and support. And so it gave me a good foundation to get into UX, which is more like technical and software design stuff. And I really like that. You can add the technical knowledge and stuff on top of it, but then having that background with our specific end users was such a good foundation because it's such a niche, you know?
Yeah.
I guess, with research, I do a lot of different things just involving listening to users, whether it's interviews or even surveys, getting information that way, doing observation. I bring like configurants with me to go visit users in their dealerships or contexts, whichever type of user we're talking about. So it's just really fun. It's a lot of like, for me, it's great. I'm an extrovert. So there's a lot of like social aspect to it. And the research part sounds a lot more like boring than it actually is. Nothing against other types of researchers. For me, it's a great like social experience as well. And connecting with people. Yeah. So
I'm really glad you have that position actually, because I've seen how much it energizes you to actually be able to do this sort of thing and make those recommendations and how much you actually really care.
I do.
About our users. So
I do.
Yeah.
It's a burden. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's great. It's great. It's really fun to be a part of something so long term and like see Configura grow and see just like the community develop over time. And so, yeah, I like being in my role as well.
Yeah.
But who the heck are you?
I am Adam Mixter. I actually have had a very strange history at Configura. I've had quite a number of different positions here. I actually started as an application developer, which means that my job was making the software. In my case, I worked for our customer delivery team, which at that time was called production. They are the folks that actually make the extensions that you'll use as an end user. And so that's actually like we consult with a manufacturer. We help them out. I did that for about 2 months before I got pulled into a very specialized role within Configura called developer support.
Adam likes to joke that he was so bad as a developer that they were like, no, you can't do that. Now you just need to support them. I don't know that that's true, but it's funny.
Yeah, it is. It is a funny story for sure. And yeah, I actually ended up in that role for a long time. And I kind of became famous within the company pretty quickly because I was actually really good at it. And I think there's a lot of developers in the community who would agree. There's probably a few that would disagree.
But I know I disagree.
But yeah, it was my role to help the developers in a similar way that like users actually get helped. And it didn't take long before I ended up in situations where somebody was asking me earnestly, like as a developer, what's the right way to do this? Or how should I do this? Audrey and I had met at a hockey game, actually.
I love sports so much. Oh, yes.
Neither of us are sports people, really.
It was a social thing. As you know, now I'm social. There were people. I'm there.
Yeah, as am I. So, and it was my very first possible work event. So we actually met there, and mostly Lauren, my wife, and Audrey talked instead of the two of us because they both do musical theater.
Here's the thing, Adam. Adam likes to pretend that he hates musicals.
I do.
All musicals.
No.
They're so horrible. Blah, blah, blah.
Legit.
But
they're his the worst.
Favorite musical. You have a favorite musical.
I guess. Yeah.
Not you guess. You've told me so many times. What is it, Adam?
Into the Woods.
What? That's changed.
What? Was it changed from what?
It was Little Shop. Little Shop of Horrors.
You're right. It is Little Shop.
Yeah.
I forgot it existed for a second. That's how much I care.
The main character is Audrey. How could you forget? And then you also love Mary Poppins.
I did like Mary Poppins.
I don't think you can love Mary Poppins and say you hate musicals. Like, I just think scientifically it doesn't match up.
Okay. I'll put it this way. I'd say that as a blanket statement because 99% of the time it's true. In general.
Okay, if you say so.
But yeah, I have like 3 of the 30 that I've seen. So maybe it's 90%. Anyway, got to know Audrey a little bit and I was kind of nervous and someone suggested talking to a trainer to understand a little bit more about how the user wants to use the software. So I actually would ask Audrey. And over the years, I would get random questions and I would actually think to myself, boy, this seems like a really bad user experience. And then I'd ask Audrey, yep, like, hey, do you think they should do this? And I think I batted probably 80%. I would get it right, which actually feels pretty good as somebody who'd never met a user before. And then went to conferences and stuff. CET Experience is a great place to talk to our users. I actually make it a point to always sit at a table with a group of people I don't know, which is really uncomfortable, I think, for them and for me right at first. But things kind of warm up typically. And as soon as you mentioned that you're a configurant, everyone's really interested to talk to you. So
yeah, I can say too, it took me years before I was comfortable going up to sit at a table where I didn't know anyone. Like, because for being a people person, I also can be kind of shy.
Yeah.
Just depends on the day. Depends on the group.
Right.
But yeah, so for years, I'd be like, okay, I'm not sitting anywhere I don't know anyone. But the last couple of years, I've been like, I don't know anyone here. Let me sit here.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We all need to try to do that. And that worked more, basically. Yeah. And I actually, one of the things I came to love right away is I was always passionate about doing the right thing for our users. But I think that when you meet them, like, they're so kind. They're so welcoming. Mm-hmm. I've never met a group of people like our users that are just so genuinely, frankly, kind, nice, and warm. Like the CT experience, or experience for now rather, feels a little bit like a warm hug.
Yeah.
You know, like you go and like everyone's super like open and super welcoming.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really great experience. And that kind of made me more passionate about the user experience and that sort of thing. Eventually I took a role as a developer experience manager. I'm not going to get into that because that lasted a year. And now I am the head of all training and support. So basically I am the boss of all the people who do the support stuff and the training stuff and that sort of thing.
I'm sure they hate having you for a boss.
Yeah, they let me know on a daily basis, actually. So they wanted a developer in that position, I think, and they also wanted somebody who had kind of a support background. Mm-hmm. So that's actually one of the reasons I got the role. I was really excited about it, and I still am, and I'm really excited to be here. But why is it us? It's kind of weird that like some random UX person and the head of support training is here.
Ugh, yeah, we're very unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
No, but the origin story of this podcast starts with a CET experience moment. So from the first year I started here, I have hosted, with the exception of 1 year, I've hosted a CET game show at the conference, and it's a blast. It's a little bit of learning, a lot of fun, and it's just like a, I don't know. I mean, the conference is so much learning and there's so much like content. And so the game show is fun because it's still content, but it's just a little bit more lighthearted. It's engaging. Everybody can participate. So now I'm just plugging for the game show. Everybody should come to that. It's honestly the best part of the conference, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, we're very humble about it.
So humble. So I did that every year, and I would work with a different, another configurant each year to kind of help plan and host. And there have definitely been years where I really needed that extra support. And one of those years was a year that I didn't have it. So the first year that we did virtual, which was 2020 for obvious reasons, I was like, you know what? This is going to be fine. I don't need an extra set of hands this time because it's just virtual. Like, I can just set everything up. Well, I do a different game show every year. And this particular year, I decided to do a version of Family Feud. And it's a great idea. It was users versus developers. And I thought it was really cute and very fun. But the way that I set it up ended up being so complicated because I had one screen for like the Zoom call and one screen for the score keeping and one screen because people would have to buzz in. So I had to see who buzzed in first. And I think I had 5 screens on my laptop, the monitor, my iPad, and my phone. I probably could have made it easier on myself, but I didn't. And I was like, I'm not doing it by myself again ever. And so for the next year, we did another virtual one. And whoever was planning the sessions at that time, I was like, Adam's helping me. And they were like, okay, sure. So then Adam, you joined, and how was that experience for you? Your first game show?
So, you know, I agreed to do it, and I was interested because I did feel bad. I was actually there for the developer versus user thing.
Were you one of the developers?
I was on one of the panels. Yep. I think, there's a couple like Caleb and mm-hmm. I want to say Hinkle were on my team.
Name dropper.
Yeah, I know. Name dropping random configurants. But anyway, yeah, so I was on there and Audrey asked me to do the next year, and we talked a little bit about what to do. And Audrey's actual initial plan is something we still haven't implemented. I don't know if you remember, but it was actually like Pac-Man, but like with questions and stuff. And it sounds cool, but pretty difficult to program in my mind. So I kind of talked her off that one. But then we decided to go with a board game we both like called Codenames.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned that into a game show. And the problem with it is that you had to identify certain things that matched a word and number combination. So there was basically times where the entire audience would have kind of a lull. And we recognized it might be kind of boring after a few seconds because some people were going to be done. So we would just have some idle friendly banter. Audrey and I are legitimately friends outside of work.
Yeah, so that's what we're telling people.
Yeah, that'll make you listen longer, right? But yes, so we're legitimately friends outside of work. And so we would just kind of just have some friendlier version of our normal banter, probably.
some like user facing friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
Version of our banter.
And a user randomly said, and it's still flabbergasted me to this day. You guys should do a podcast. I would listen to that. And I was just like, oh, that's very kind of you. And I was just kind of like, oh boy. And another user said, you know, I would listen to it too. And I think there might have been one or two more that chimed in.
Yeah, like in a different session, it came up.
Yeah,
did it came come up in that, both sessions?
Yeah, it came up in both sessions. Yeah, so it came up once when we were talking, and then we talked about it, and I was like, oh, that's a little weird. And Audrey's like, oh, I think that's kind of cool. And I was like, I don't know. And then, yeah, the next session when we did the game show, it happened again. So obviously there's something about the way we talk or the way we banter that people enjoy. So the idea has actually been in the back of our head for years.
Yeah. We were like, how can we – What can we do to, like, we didn't really have the position to be like, we're doing this. So we're like, how can we convince somebody who does have the decision making power to do it?
Yeah.
And then now we're kind of both in positions where it can be like, you know what? Screw it. We're going to do a podcast. And, but I think it fits really well with like what we want to do. Last year, I headed up a lot of research, just specifically in commercial interiors and our users in that industry. And we did a lot of interviews. I think we interviewed 70 different people, or like 74, I think.
Wow.
And some in person, some virtual. We talked to designers, salespeople, project managers, project coordinators, design professors, design students. And it was very informative. And, you know, we try as best we can to bring what we learned from those interviews back and pass it on to other configurants. And we were like, you know, we could also just bring the interviews closer to the configurants and to the others who develop on our platforms. And so to me, this podcast is a little bit of an extension of that research, continuing doing interviews, but just making it more accessible.
Yeah. Shout out to you, random user, if you were the one who actually suggested that we do a podcast. Here we are. We
chat made in. It.
And yeah, I think that Audrey hit the nail on the head though. What we want to do with this podcast is really like talk about why some of the things are the way that they are, some of the things we're looking to improve, and some of the things that we actually have a certain way for a reason, if that's even the case. And to try to get into the heart of that question, I liked that one that you brought up earlier. I'm paraphrasing because you didn't quite say this, but you said something to the effect of what is the problem that we're trying to solve. Mm-hmm. And that actually is one of the things that I was stunned as a developer that I learned here. There's three people I respect at this company immensely who
only
all
three.
Just those three that are all really, really good at, like, in the middle of a conversation, you give them a solution and you'll talk to them about it and they'll look at you funny and they'll say, what's the problem that this is solving, or what's the problem you're trying to solve? And I think that's always like a really good reflection that we need to have more in the back of our minds all the time, because sometimes we look at a solution that will solve a problem quickly, but we haven't really defined the full scope of the problem or the full problem. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I feel so passionate about design thinking with one of the developers here who's really taught me to think that way. I super appreciate that. And I didn't have a term for design thinking, so I always thought it was really cool. It's kind of like, in my mind, kind of applying like the scientific method to software development, which we have an episode planned a little bit about my analogy there. So a little teaser for later.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, working at a tech company, it's so easy to get into, let's do cool tech stuff. You know, this is so cool that we can do X, Y, Z. And yeah, it's important to bring it back to the question of, okay, yeah, you can do that, but is that necessary? Or is there a better way to come at it? And who are we doing it for? And starting out with those questions, looking for the need before the solution. And that's something we can all always get better at, you know?
But yeah, in the vein of getting to know us a little better, actually, and I know we're kind of jumbling around here, but we did have this questionnaire. And I think it's actually like a kind of revealing thing where it's hard to get to the kinds of answers these questions will give, or to the kind of like information that gives about a person. Like one of the questions is, what is your least favorite word? And they said no. And I think that tells a lot about a person.
Quick, before we do jump into that, because you said something that made me think of something.
Sure.
What you were talking about, that these questions reveal something outside of just the answer. That's also a very good research principle. So when I create a study plan, like if it's, say, a set of interviews, I create my research questions and then separately my interview questions. So my research questions is, by the end of the study, what do I want to be able to know? What do I want to find out? And then the interview questions are questions that I'll ask the user that are going to get me the answers without explicitly asking the research questions. So there's a little bit of a subtle difference, but I think it's really important in research, if you care, anybody, to know what do we want to know versus what do we want to ask to a user? Because if you just ask the research question, you're usually not going to get as much quality insights.
This is one of the reasons I respect what you do so much, because I am a physicist by nature. So mm-hmm. I got a physics degree.
Nerd.
I like numbers. I like measurements and I like, you know, hard facts kind of thing. That's not the world Audrey lives in ever. So even the way you ask a question taints the answer you get mm-hmm. to the question you asked. So you have to be hyper careful.
Yeah.
I always jokingly say physics is easy, psychology is hard. Because mm-hmm. I think it's really difficult to ask a good question. There's actually a podcast I heard about called A Good Question that's just about how to ask the right question.
All right. Well, now that we've had our little tangent on research best practices, let's talk about ourselves. Question for you, Adam. What's your least favorite word?
So we actually just did this questionnaire, like a team building thing where we paired people off with random somebody they had never met before. Mm. My least favorite word I said was hate at the time.
Oh.
But I mean that in a very specific way. So I realized that my least favorite word is actually probably discrimination.
Mm. As a word or a concept?
As a concept, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I mean, as a word, like a word, maybe moist.
That's such a cliche at this point.
Yeah, but it sucks. I mean, that just shows you how bad moist is, right? Like,
yeah, it's not a great word. It doesn't bother me as much as it does other people, mostly because people will try to say it just to make people uncomfortable. And I want to be that person who's like, eh.
What energizes you emotionally or creatively?
So I do a couple of different creative things in my life. I do... As Adam said, his wife and I bonded over the fact that we both do musical theater, and I like to act and sing, but even more than that, I enjoy directing. But with all of that, part of what's energizing to me is the social aspect of it, of course. But not just that, like with directing, I don't think I can explain the feeling of like seeing the show going on without you. Like, you've put in so much energy and care and love into this show, and at the end, you can just sit back and, like, just see it happening and see how much everybody contributed to it. And, you know, the actors are giving so much energy and talent every night, and all the designers of the set and the props and all of that put so much into it, and it's so satisfying to, like, see that collaboration that went into it. So that's probably... I'd say the biggest thing is that, like, the beauty that comes out of collaboration. But I also do some solo creative stuff, too. So, like I said, my degree is in creative writing, and I do that at different phases, more or less at different phases of life. But what's funny is I don't like writing with other people. I had a friend who would always be like, let's write a book together. And I was like, that sounds awful. Like, sometimes you need something that's just your own. And I don't know what it is that, like, drives me to do that, but it's just really enjoyable. That's that. Your next question is, what takes your energy creatively or emotionally?
For this one, I said last time, I think this is still a fairly valid one, prolonged conflict. When you're just stuck between like a prolonged conflict and you're just dealing with it, it just, it's just such a drain. Just, you know, the drama, can't we just get along? Can't we just bury the hatchet? And sometimes I understand why it's so hard, but yeah, it's really a drain.
Yeah, we could get into lots of topics.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. That's why I'm just going to leave that one where it is. What sound do you hate?
Oh my God, Adam. I think that one of the top sounds that I hate, and probably a lot of people can relate to this, is alarms. Specifically ones that are just like blaring, repetitive. Like the alarms that, you know, on your phone are maybe more like tunes or bells or something. Like, okay, fine. But it's the ones that are like, meh, 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 like the repetitive, my brain shuts off. I can't focus. I can't think. I'm only like, get me away from that sound. And yeah, that's probably the biggest one. But what noise do you love, Adam?
Okay, this one gets me a little teary-eyed, but I'm actually stealing this answer from someone else who answered this question a long while ago, and I just think it was like the best answer. When I come home and my kids are saying, "Daddy, Daddy," aww, and they're so excited to see me. That's my so favorite sweet sound. Yeah. Which profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer would be something on Broadway.
Ah.
Classic. But honestly, like, I guess I still do a little bit, but, you know, I'm 33 and tired now. But no, I used to be like, oh my gosh, I want to do everything. I changed my major in college like 4 times. And then after I graduated, I also then changed my mind about what I wanted to do. And I started to go into interior design. And then now I am in UX design and research and stuff. So I've just kind of always wanted to do a lot of everything. Like at one point I was like, oh, it'd be so cool to be a pirate. Like I just wanted to do everything, or like, yeah, I just kind of have a lot of different daydreams of like, that would be cool. But what about you?
The profession that I would try other than my own is actually, I would try to be an author.
Ooh.
I've actually gotten a couple of like my short stories published, not in anything major. I'm just going to be honest with everybody. But yeah, I actually always really liked creative writing. I took the course twice in college, once at my community college and once at the university. Really enjoyed it both times. I definitely have a Stephen King-esque style, I think. That's typically where I tend to write. And I just really enjoy it. It's nice to be able to flex those creative muscles, especially because I spend so much of my time doing analytical work. Mm. I like math and I like numbers and I like kind of coming up with
nerd.
Yeah, meaningful numbers and stuff like that. So being able to flex those creative muscles every once in a while is nice. And I just don't do it very often anymore. Mm. So
maybe we'll have to dig out our old work. And,
yeah, you know. I'd be happy to show you my old work, but you got to promise you're not going to tease me too bad for it, because it's a little
cringe. Promise that.
Okay, fair.
No, that's funny.
Nerd Alert!
Welcome to our first session of Nerd Alert.
What is Nerd Alert, Audrey?
Nerd Alert is a quick little segment where you get to be a nerd.
Well, that just happens all the time anyway.
Oh, that's true. Well, I usually try to like curb that, but this is where you get free reign to completely be a nerd, no restrictions, and we're just going to give you a topic and you're going to try to explain it in a way that is both accurate and comprehensible to people who are slightly less nerdy than you, or at least, yeah, maybe.
Maybe less technically minded.
Yeah, yeah. I almost said less intelligent, but I was like, I would categorize myself as that, but I don't want to like, there's different kinds of intelligence. Technically minded.
I think some of our end users actually out nerd me too.
Whom
I love dearly, but like thinking of a couple of people I know personally, like I think they might out nerd me a little bit.
Yeah.
So. But as far as being technical, yes, I definitely think that most of our designers don't know a whole lot about programming. So
no, that's true.
I believe also I'm limited to a certain amount of time.
Yes. We're going to give you 2 minutes. No more, no less.
And I can talk really fast. So
yeah. So we're going to see how much you can get in that amount of time. So today's topic, I'm going to say the topic and then say go, and then that's it. So, today's question is, what is a snapper? Go.
So, snapper is actually the technical term for a symbol in CET. A snapper is the thing that you place into space. It is the thing that you, your product probably is. But snappers aren't actually limited to that. Snappers can be a lot of things, which makes things really confusing even for developers to talk about. So when it comes to snappers, there is the thing that you're placing. So like, let's say a chair is most likely going to be a snapper, but its headrests and armrests can also be what are called child snappers, which makes things nice and confusing. And then one of the things that makes the word snapper so interesting is the yellow nodes that you might have learned about in training are called connectors, not snappers, which a lot of developers actually in the community feel is the wrong name. Snappers should have been the yellow things and the other object be an entity or an item or something that had a pretty generic name. I actually am camp snapper, and that's because the connector connects the things. And if you click on it, it disconnects the things. And then the snapper is the thing that jumps on your mouse to connect to the other thing, and it snaps.
That like a snapping turtle.
Yeah, like a snapping turtle, exactly. And snappers make up the base of everything that we do in CET, essentially. So when a user uses the word symbol, we're kind of taught to automatically use the word snapper. Symbol is actually its own thing in CM, but I'm scared I'm going to get off topic and go on a tangent.
You have 32 seconds left.
Excellent. So instead, I'm going to keep talking about snappers, which aren't just limited to the ones that you place in space. A view mode is actually a snapper, or a view clip, excuse me, is actually a snapper. It's actually called a wormhole snapper because it actually makes a wormhole from paper space into 2D space.
Oh, we're really getting nerdy.
Yeah. And then there's also hidden object snappers. Exist in the world of CET.
4, 3.
So that's the snapper.
1. I think that was super successful. I think everyone understands the snapper.
Yeah, I definitely panicked at the end there for sure. Which maybe that'll be a reoccurring part of this segment as I panic to try to get the rest of my thoughts out and just
I think it'll get better and better over time.
I probably will. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe we'll every couple episodes we'll try to redo the snapper topic so you can
show get how much more and more improved.
Yeah. But that's your nerd alert for today, and I hope you learned something.
Or maybe you didn't. I don't know.
Or maybe you didn't.
I actually was thinking about this, and I feel like we should probably give a couple of shout outs to some people that are helping with the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I think a huge shout out to Hugo Funkison. Boy, I hope I got his name right.
That's going to be embarrassing for you.
Well, he'll tell me I got it wrong and we'll try again. It's okay because I was actually going to also thank his boss, and I'm so not excited to try to pronounce her last name, Osa Poslumi, because both of them has been a huge help in getting this podcast off the ground. Hugo especially, he's our editor, and he also has experience doing podcasts. So without Hugo's help, we really wouldn't be here, I don't think.
No.
And same with Osa, actually. She's the head of marketing, so you know she's going to make the final decision on whether this goes out the door. I'm definitely not just trying to butter her up to make it so that we get picked up. But in Osa's case, she's actually been a huge help in getting this off the ground and giving us good ideas and things to think about and that sort of thing. So I wanted to thank those two. And then I actually wanted to thank our bosses. Without Evelina Hoglin's help, we wouldn't be here either.
My boss.
Yep, that's Audrey's boss. She's great. we wouldn't be here without her, giving us a little bit of a thumbs up and also encouraging Audrey to do this.
Big thumbs up, I would say.
Yeah, for encouraging this podcast and really helping drive it from her end. And then another shout out to Henrik Peterson, my boss, because without his approval for me to be here, I wouldn't be here either. And his thumbs up to do this as well. I know I'm a bit of a busy person, but Audrey's doing a lot of the heavy lifting and I'm just kind of here for the brownie points, really.
We'll see if you get them.
Yeah, we'll see. One other thing that I wanted to mention too before we sign off for this one is how we envision the users to be able to participate in the podcast, because I think that would be a great thing to plug.
Yeah.
So for this podcast, I know that the vibe we're kind of going for is a couple of people hanging around a campfire, and you're there as the listener in this conversation. For some reason, you can't get a word in edgewise, maybe, but maybe you're not annoyed by that exactly.
Unless you come on the show.
Yes, of course. But we want this to feel like there's a couple of people around a campfire talking about a thing that's related to your life slightly.
Yeah. I don't listen to that many podcasts, actually, but one of my favorites, I'll be listening to it and I'll literally start to chime in. Out loud.
That's amazing.
That's so funny because you can't hear me.
It's so casual. You feel like you're part of the conversation. Yeah.
So I hope that somebody does that.
Yeah.
You know, or at least you feel like you want to.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I love that. So we want this to feel like an open-ended conversation that you can actually contribute to.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you guys. We actually have an email all set up to make it super official. It's snapintoit@configura.com. SNAPINTOIT at configura.com. I don't know why Adam is laughing at me spelling. I think I spelled it right.
No, you spelled it right. There's nothing wrong with the spelling of it. I'm sorry. I'm laughing because it's I hope our listeners can handle it, especially because there's a little picture of the word right on the screen they're probably looking at.
That could be. Yes, that could be. But
just in case, I guess you could be in your car. You could be in your car.
You could be in your car and, Configura likes to spell things wrong sometimes.
True.
I don't know if you know this. I just want to make sure it's clear. We are spelling all three words in our name correctly.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know what? Point taken. I retract my giggling at you silently.
Yeah, you really tried to keep it on the DL, but it didn't work.
No, it did not work.
I can't play it cool. But no, snap into it at configure.com. Send us a message. We'd love to hear from you, whether it's like, hey, you said this thing and that's totally not true, or, oh my gosh, I completely agree. Or if you have a question that you want us to talk about, or if you want to be on the podcast, totally invite yourself and we'll see if we can make it work. Be super fun to keep the conversation going.
Yeah. Maybe you have some sort of interest in doing the episode. Maybe you want to try to read the names of the people who I cannot pronounce and we'll just put you as the end credits.
Ooh, that would be a good like segment.
Yeah.
With every guest. Unless they're Swedish, that's not fair. That's an advantage. But like if they're non-Swedish speakers, then we give them like a Swedish word.
Yeah.
And see if they can pronounce it.
Yeah.
I would fail every time. I lived in Sweden 2 years and I struggle so much with Swedish. I would fail. It would be comical and I would go home crying. But that would be really fun actually for me to listen to people try.
That's a great way to get people involved if you want to be involved. Yeah. But yeah, that's the kind of the plan. We also were thinking maybe we might have like a voicemail line too, where you could like call and leave your questions. But yeah, we want this conversation to be open to you so that you can feel like you're participating. We have some good ideas for a few episodes for now, but we definitely want to hear from you. What do you want to hear? What's your feedback? Those kinds of things.
Yeah. And another way that you can participate in general in the Configura community is to join our feedback community. And that's just a group of our end users in any industry who participate in surveys, testing, beta testing. And it's fun for a lot of reasons. You can get like a sneak peek on what we're working with, and being able to have your voice heard in the development process is really great. We want our users to be behind the scenes more, and we want to hear, you know, what matters to them. And if you're a part of the community, you can kind of have your voice heard and engage in a new and interesting way. So our test listeners are all in the community already. Yeah. So thank you for being awesome.
Yeah.
And then if we, you know, make this a real thing, we'll probably include like a link in the episode notes or whatever it's called.
As they call it. Yeah,
the doodly-doo?
The doobly-doo, the thing that's at the bottom, the description.
Okay, sure. I don't like that. That's not my least favorite word.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I won. I got to win sometimes, right? Yeah. I won the worst word contest. And I think that that's a great way to join. And we're definitely, especially looking for material handling folks. If you are a material handling user listening to this podcast and you're curious about some of these things, we want you to join the feedback community as well. We definitely need more of our MH folks in the community in general.
Sure. Yeah. Anything else you want to say, Adam?
Thank you so much for listening. If you did listen to the whole thing, we would love your feedback. You know, we want this to be a podcast that's as much about you or more about you really than it is us. So if you have feedback, please give it.
Yeah.
Positive, negative, whatever.
All of the above. Good job, Adam.
Good job, Audrey. See you next time.
See you next time.